a woman, you know you are very expensive as a woman. You know, my husband tells me, you are even more expensive than my car. I said, that's why I'm a woman. When you think you have understood a woman, she opens another page. The woman is laughing now. The next minute she's crying. She said, what's wrong? I don't even know. Even me, I don't know. It may be her cycle. That's a woman for you. I said, woman, I don't know. I just don't feel like talking to anybody. Give your neighbor a high five. Tell your neighbor, meet me at the top. I'm not waiting for you. Meet me at the top. Hallelujah. You may please be seated in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, beautiful ladies, and the very courageous men that are here. God bless you. I want you to please turn your seat in such a way that you will not need to strain your neck. Just turn your seat so you can see me very well. Make sure you face this place. We don't want to give you a massage after this. One more time, I'm honored and privileged to have been brought by God to be a part of my family that I didn't know exists. And like I said to my husband, I think I've gained some weight since I came 2 days ago. Fantastic people, fantastic couple. Fantastic. You are blessed with one of the best couples in the ministry. Dr. Ralph and Pastor Regina, awesome people. I said to her yesterday, for God's sake, where have you been? How come that I'm just meeting you? She's beautiful inside and outside. Such an angel. We thank God for her, and we thank God for her very, very dear husband. The Lord shall preserve the two of you. I do not take this privilege for granted at all. I just wanted to know that I truly appreciate you. The Lord prolong your days and continually multiply His grace to you in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the two of them, please. Amen. Please bear with my voice. I've been preaching for, oh my God, back to back. I want to thank God for Tanika. You are such a blessing to the body of Christ. I feel like stealing you to the United States of Nigeria. Oh my God, she's confident, she's beautiful, she's bold, she knows her onions. I'm so proud of her. This is what I mentor women to be. Amen. And my generation is blessing God for you. Amen. Please keep the fire burning. Amen. And I want to thank God for your very, very secure husband. Amen. We have too many cowards as husbands. Yes. They won't let their wives shine. They won't let their wives be. So when we see men that are bold enough and secure enough in their destiny to let their wives shine, we always take out the time to celebrate them. Yeah. Celebrate Robert Smith. God bless you. Thank you. If you hadn't allowed her, see what we would have missed. Thank you for being secure in your destiny. And as I sat there, the Lord told me to tell you that you're going to have 3 children. And the Lord said, amen. And the Lord said, I should tell you that the first one is His own. No matter what that child becomes, he must serve God on the altar. No matter whether he's a doctor, whether he's an engineer, whatever, the totality of that child's life must be the altar. It is he's God's own. And then the remaining two are yours. I'm going to celebrate with you very soon. Hallelujah. Now listen, beloved. There are 5 graces on my life. And one of them is this, that I'm sharing with you today. By my hands, God has given children. As I sat there and the Lord spoke to me, I had good bumps all over me. I knew it was the Lord. Get ready to celebrate. When you get back to Toronto, go to the mall, go to Mother Care, go to anybody, go get some new stuff. In readiness. In readiness. In readiness. In readiness. Now, when spiritual science is speaking, medical science must shut up. Must shut up. And after God has spoken, every other speaker is a latecomer. So I want you to get ready for celebration, joy coming. Come on, celebrate. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. We magnify you. The Lord that does what no man can do. We give you praise in advance. We thank you for these children. Oh Lord, the snare is broken and you have escaped. Hallelujah. Amen. All of you that celebrated them, before this year ends, you will have 5 reasons to celebrate. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is going to do. And we give Him praise in advance. In the name of Jesus. One more time, I bring you greetings from my husband, Bishop Felix Remy Adejumo. I've been married 31 years. And it's just getting stronger and stronger. Stronger. I told my husband, when he said to me, I wish Jesus would just come and say, all of you that are married, remain married. I said to him, I know Jesus may not say that, but when we get to heaven, and it's question and answer time, I'm going to raise up my hand and tell the Lord, Father, can you please let my husband's mansion be closest to my own, because I want to stay beside this man for eternity. Eternity. Marriage is sweet depending on the cutlery you use to eat it. I'm a proof that marriage is sweet. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't believe traditions. You can be your husband's friend. You can enjoy it. It can get better and better. I'm a grandmother. 31 years of marriage. My husband and I still call ourselves, I'll soon get to my teacher, we still call ourselves, you know, my pet names. And my God, when I was coming, we spoke 13 times one day, 13 times on the phone. I can't survive without speaking to him. And he's so secure in himself. He has allowed me to shine. He has allowed me to give expression to God's grace on my life. You know, recently in Nigeria, God gave me the privilege to be one of the 100 women leaders impacting their world. 100 Nigerian women, you know, impacting their world. The first 100. And the way my husband celebrated me, I was just saying, God, thank you for this gift. When I get to heaven, I'm going to use the hair on my head to wipe Jesus' feet. For the privilege of being his wife. Please celebrate him so I can preach more. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Hallelujah. In the few minutes that I have, I want to share 10 things with you that will help you. It's love affair. So I'm speaking about marriage. Now let me tell you, there are 4 kinds of marriages. According to the parable of the sower. There are 4 kinds, but I'm not going into that today. But I want to look at the life of Ruth and bring 10 lessons. I'll be speaking to the women in particular, although I'll be making references to men so that they too can learn. I only wish that one day Pastor Ralph or Pastor Regina will host, I do that in Nigeria, a conference for men. You know, when I do my women's conference, I set one night apart. Because many times we have women conferences, we tell the women, do this, do that, do that. And some of them go home and they meet husbands that just scatter everything. So at least let's have men come together and somebody speak to them. And when they hear from people that have testimonies, I'm sure they will listen. Because some of them, they've never seen their parents hug. They've never seen their father love on their wife. So they don't know what to do with the institution of marriage. We need to mentor them. So I'll be referring to them, you know, but I want to particularly speak to women. I'm reading from the book of Ruth, chapter 3. And I want to read verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Four verses. 6, 7, 8, and 9. And she went down onto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the edge of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth." These four verses of the scriptures are loaded, and they give us the pictorial image of what a marriage relationship should be. And I want to dissect them as I take you on this journey under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the confines of the time that we have. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is in verse number 6. She went down onto the floor. If you're going to have a successful marriage, if your love affair is going to be new and renewed and enjoyable, you must carry along humility. She went down onto the floor. In your home, how humble are you? In your relationship with your husband, how humble are you? The first 25 years of our marriage, because we are Africans and we come from a part of Africa that believes that the greatest way you can show respect is by kneeling down. Every morning I knelt down to greet my husband. Even when I was not home, I would kneel down on the phone. What was I trying to say? Because I know I'm a strong woman. God has blessed me. I was trying to let the devil know that it doesn't matter the lifting of God in my life. This man must be honored. I was dealing with my heart. I decided to show him the highest level of honor in my culture. I just made up my mind. I will wake up in the morning and I will go to his bed, you know, his side of the bed, and I will sing love songs to him. And I will call him all kinds of names. The only sugar in my tea. The only rose in my garden. My king, your excellency, good morning. Psychologists have discovered that the greatest need of a man is not sex. He can have sex with any prostitute if he's not born again. It is not food. He can get it in any restaurant if he has his money. It is respect, particularly public respect. How humble are you in your relationship? Sometimes you wonder, why is my husband treating me this way? Why is it that relationships don't last in my life? How humble are you? Some women are too proud. Too proud because of your background, because of your pedigree, because you think you are better off, because you think you know better, you can speak better grammar, so you talk down on your husband, you run him down, you disrespect him in the presence of people, in the presence of the children, anyhow, anywhere. You get home after church and you say to your husband, "When Pastor Rav told husbands to come out, you too, you came out." Today, are you a man? And you make the man feel less. Some women are wonderful in church. They are angels in church. You know, I had to go get a white dress today so I won't be sent back. You know, you say, "Where's your wedding uniform?" Some women are angels. They are white. You know, in church, "Pastor, we thank God for you. We bless God for you. Praise the Lord." They sing in the choir. You don't want them to stop. But at home, they are devils. They are devils. Give their husbands an anonymous form to feel. You'll be shocked at what the man writes. Some husbands are born again. They are praying in tongues. "Oh God, what's the meaning of that tongue? Take my wife home. She's this." Since I cannot divorce her, oh God, bail me out of this. She went down. Sometimes in your marriage, you don't have, excuse me, what is meekness? Listen, what is the definition of meekness? Meekness is strength put under control. I'm strong. I can deal with you, but that's meekness. That's humility. I know what to do. I know how to fight for my right. But I'm a Christian. Just because the Lord rules in my heart. I may cry, but I'll go down. Sometimes you need to hide your strength. You know, Robert was speaking about us. Every woman, I've written 73 books. Not 50. I've published 73 books. One of my books is titled Woman, Wife, and Mother. Inside every woman, there are a minimum of 7 powers is in that book. 7, biblically. You can use it anyhow. You can use it negatively. You can use it positively. What the whole, you know, one of these powers is the power of emotion. What the whole army of the Philistines could not get, Delilah got it. Now, many times when people speak about Delilah, they just condemn her. I don't. I learned from her. For the greatest, the most anointed man of God at that time to pillow his head on a woman's lap, so we need to learn from that woman. We need to learn from her. So you see, you've got to understand that once in a while, you need to just come down. She went down to the floor. After that situation is over, you look at yourself and say, I'm truly born again. God, thank you. You really helped me. It is not every fight you should fight. It is not everything you should react to. It's a sign of immaturity. Overlook. Marriage is a relationship between two forgivers. Overlook. And forgive. And stop reminding. Your son says, what's happening? Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Say, don't you know today's date? Date? Say, what's today's date? He said, today is 25th of July. It is the 3rd anniversary of your adultery. You're reminding him. She went to the floor. Humility. Even if you don't kneel down to greet your husband every morning, give him the highest level of honor in your culture. There's no honor I will give to anybody on earth if I have not given it to my husband. Anybody. Spiritual leaders. Secular leaders. It doesn't matter until I have given it to my husband. The way you treat your husband is the way people will help you treat him. Even if you call yourselves by your first name, when you get outside, hide it. Get a pet name for him. Bibi, Arrow, Sweetheart. And say, hey, come here. James. The way you treat him is the way people will treat him. It doesn't matter your culture. There's no man you treat like a king that will not treat you like a queen. No one. Inside every husband, there are 3 things. A little boy that wants to come out and play. If you address him, he will let you know. Number 2 is a king that wants to reign. Number 3 is a little fool. It depends on the one you address. A man may be as short as a bottle. Don't dare him. It is love that is making the man look, quote and unquote, stupid. If the man should beat you, you will know that his sharpness is an advantage. They say, my husband slapped me. I said, what did you say before he slapped you? When he's not a madman. There's a way you provoke something. It is the one you address that comes out. Your husband says,
Your Royal Majesty, welcome home.
Why would the man not treat you like a queen? You don't beg and fight. Start treating you, the way Robert was treating his wife. You must treat me. You are a devil.
It won't work. You earn it.
Don't dishonor your husband in the presence of a third party. Or in the presence of your children. In the private and in the public, learn to honor him. There is a level of blessing that comes into your life as a married woman if you know how to honor your husband. God has taken me around the world. I've been to places and I'm all tears. 2 weeks ago, I was flying from Nigeria to the U.S. via Dubai. I was the only passenger in the first class. I laid prostrate. And then I said, Father, hundreds of people are here. But I used to hawk to pay school fees. That's to let you know how poor my background is. Poor people will look at me and shake their head and say, you are really poor. We pity you. And for Jehovah to have turned my life around that way, he deserves my praise. I've enjoyed blessings in my life. And sometimes my husband says to me, the reason why God is blessing you is because of me. I treat him special. And I want to leave that with you. Don't have Canadian marriage. Don't have African marriage. Don't have American marriage. Have Bible marriage. If you know how to honor your husband, there is a level of blessing that comes into your life. Humility. She went down. Sometimes we need to come down in spite of our certificates and our pedigrees and our background and everything just to make peace in the marriage. A good husband is very scarce. If you have one, please keep him. He may not be perfect. He has his challenges. He has his fears. But don't use the weaknesses against him. The second lesson from that scripture, the Bible says that she went down on the floor. Can you just leave it? And did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. That talks about mentoring. I ended my preaching yesterday on that note. You need someone in your life that you are accountable. If you are a single lady, don't marry any man that has no pastor. Don't marry any man that is not accountable to anybody. If there is nobody you can report him to, just in case. If there's nobody he fears, he's a danger on two legs. He's an accident that will happen one day. So who are you accountable to? Who do you fear? Don't tell me it is the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't see him physically. The last time he came downstairs was at Calvary. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us he gave gifts unto men. The original scripture says he gave men as gifts. You must be accountable to people. 52 days, weeks of the year. Don't be in 52 churches. A rolling stone gathers no moss. You must be planted. Psalm 92, it is the planted that flourishes. You must be planted. The Bible says she did according to what her mother-in-law spoke to her. I have 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls, well, men and women now. And for the first time in May, I became a mother-in-law in terms of my son getting married. My 2 daughters are married, and then my son brought in. I read books. I prepared. I had never been a mother-in-law that way before. And you know, there's this bias. Every mother-in-law is a witch. Every mother-in-law is this. So I really prepared for this girl. And I started praying. And I can say that God has been good. Not all mothers-in-law are wicked. And your own may not be. And even if she is, that's why you're a Christian. My mother-in-law died at the age of 110. 110. My husband is 61. And I always tell him, jokingly, your mother had you after she moved from menopause to menopause. I made sure that that woman, you know, I made sure she came to live in her house at the end of her life. You know, she would come and visit and all that. But I told God, Lord, I want this woman to die in my hands. And God practically answered that prayer. One day she said to me, raise your right hand up. I did. She said to me, you've taken care of me. You've been fantastic. You didn't treat me as a mother-in-law. From today, I bless you. Among your mates, in 70 times 7 ways, this is how you will shine. When an old woman prays like that for you, it stays. You think she didn't offend me? Oh, she did. I just chose to forgive her in advance. So that I will not repeat. Because Genesis 8:22 tells us, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest. It didn't say harvest time. So the seed then has time, but the harvest is timeless. You keep reaping and reaping and reaping. So it's a cycle. Seed, time, harvest. Seed, time, harvest. And life is not governed by miracles. Life is governed by principles. If you don't sow it, you can't reap it. There is no daughter-in-law that can maltreat me because I didn't sow it. I didn't. So stop going into marriage with a bias. I will show my mother-in-law. I will show her that I was born in Canada. I will show her. And you are battle ready for nothing. So every little thing, you amplify her negative side, her weaknesses. Each time she comes home, she comes visiting, or your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, you squeeze your face like an amoeba. You are ready. Any fight. It's not necessary. Befriend your mother-in-law. Because if you don't saw it, you won't trip. There was a time when I was a single lady, you will hear young ladies praying, God, kill my mother-in-law. I don't want a mother-in-law. I said, oh, may the Lord hear. So that when it is your turn, your own son so will pray that kind of prayer. Life is governed by principles. If you don't sow it, you won't reap it. So be careful. The Bible says, she did according to all that her mother-in-law bid her. Who is your mentor? Who is guiding you? Who do you listen to? Many marriages have problems today because of the kind of people wives listen to. When a friend tells you, I can't take that, oh, me, I can't take that. How much does your husband give you? Not me. It's a lie. She wants to scatter your marriage. It's always greener on the other side of the fence. And listen to them. Before you give me a dress, can I see what you're wearing? There are people you should not listen to. There are people you should delete their numbers from your phone. They are fire extinguishers. They kill the fire that you have in your marriage. Who do you listen to? Because you look like who you look at. So who do you look like? Who do you look at? Who is your mentor? Don't tell me, Joyce Mia is my mentor. You've never seen her in all your life. Just put her picture in one place. That's my mentor. In Jesus' name, you lie. You lie. Locate an Elizabeth. Someone that believes in you. Someone that is a picture of your future. Someone that knows what he or she is doing. And connect to that person. He's a thing of the spirit. Connect to that person. And God has a way. My husband says, spiritual things don't happen by accident. You don't meet people by accident. God has a way. Once your spirit connects, does it. Wherever they may be. Who do you listen to? Don't be mentored by the wrong people. Don't be mentored by someone that wants to eat you up and eat your future. Be mentored by someone that will fan you to flame. Someone that believes in your future. Someone that will believe in you enough to applaud you. Someone that is secure enough to let you shine. Not someone that wants to kill your dreams.
Not someone that wants to snatch your vision each time you share it. That's not a mentor you should follow. Don't follow an expired mentor. Parked vehicle. You cannot be in a moving vehicle and remain on the same spot. Some mentors are very insecure. Very, very insecure. Don't follow them. Please don't. The third thing, can we go back to that? The Bible says she went down to the floor, did according to all that her mentor told her. And then look at verse number 7. That brings me to the third thing. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, that's the third thing. What does your husband eat? What do you feed him with? What do you say to your husband? Let's begin with that. What scientists have discovered that works do not die. And that is corroborating the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The creation. And God said it and God saw it. And it was the first day. And God said, let there be. And there was. God said it and God saw it. Scientists did a research and they discovered that words do not die. Any word you speak bounces and waits for you in the future. So many times when I wake up in the morning and I'm doing my quiet time, I say, Father, if there's any negative word I've spoken, please let the blood overtake it. Any negative word waiting for my future, I destroy it by the blood of the Lamb. I overtake it. I change it. I superimpose the will of God upon it. Words do not die. What do you speak to your husband? You know, pillow talk. A woman can finish a whole city just by pillow talk. The way they are using you in this church. I won't say more than that too. You have said everything. You said everything. Did you notice that, sister? Just be careful. You finished the relationship. This is your sister-in-law that is always... You know women, the way we speak, body language, everything. That's our just home alone is enough to kill a city. After the man had eaten and drunk, what do you feed him with? Feed your husband with words of life. Words that will let him know that you believe in him. Applaud him. I don't play table tennis. My husband does. But excuse me, we have a table tennis, whatever, in the house. Whoever is playing with my husband, except I'm not home, can never win. Because I will distract you till you fail. In Jesus' name, it's a lie. You won't win. You won't. By the time you are looking at me to say, oh, please stop. My husband has, park. Everything is done, And I'm telling him, darling, hey, the champion in this town, the champion. After the man had eaten and drunk, what do you speak to him? Apart from that, physically, what do you give your husband? And how do you serve his meals? You treat your husband as if he's a non-entity. You serve him anyhow. Your food is in the microwave. If you like, go take it. I'm off. But when guests visit, you are sweating. You bring out all the dishes. You're setting the table. I used to be like that. And one day my husband, I went to a conference like this. And someone said something like this. Several years ago. Think about 28 years or something ago. So I got back home and I set the table and I was sweating. And my little son came up and said, Mom, who are we expecting? I said, it's your dad. He said, Dad, is it that important? So even the children are watching because they are innocent learners. How do you set your husband's table? Do you dish it out? Some of you have beautiful dishes. You stack them up for Jehovah wickedness people. So come and inherit after the rapture. The same plate your husband has been using to eat since Canada was founded. It's still the same plate. It's old, it's rickety, it's still the same plate. Set of cutlery. Excuse me, go out and change.
go out and change and buy new sets and change regularly. My husband's seat is different. I'm a pastor's wife. My dining set has 14 chairs. We always have a crowd. My husband's seat is different, and you dare not sit on it. He's a king in this kingdom. He faces his pressures and ministry and all that. So when he comes home, I want him to come to his kingdom, his empire, with expectation. His tension is busting. He's happy. He's looking forward. When last did you receive your husband or welcome him with a bouquet in your hand? At the door. Some of you, your children have taken the places of your husbands. And you keep making sure that children come in between you. Don't finish that meal. It's my husband. That yogurt is for my children. And your husband is wondering. Every time. My children. In 25 years' time, those children will have gone. If they don't go, you will pray, God, please take them. Let them go. Let them go and get married. Please, Lord. And it will be just you and the man. And sometimes you will be lonely, even though you are two. Because you did not build that relationship over the years. So it's important for you to please feed the man correctly. Stop giving him the same meal every day. Learn as a woman. The way you set the table, the way you lay the bed, the way you mix the meals, be creative. Serve him. Let him know that you have his time. It's important for you to do this. After the man had eaten and drunk, speaking to you married men, stop giving your husband same carbohydrate every minute, every day. Think. Sometimes you need to stop watching some of these channels and go learn some things about how to make, you know, food and all that. Serve him correctly. Let your husband feel special. Make him a king in your home. Even if you are not married, you can start learning and prepare for the future. There's no man you treat like a king that will not treat you like a queen. Do your own part and trust God. The fourth thing, when Boaz had eaten, I'm really rushing because of our time and we have evening service. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry. That's the fourth thing. You must constantly make your husband happy. Give him joy. Stop noticing every mistake. Stop nagging. Every time there is a quarrel, every time, when your marriage was 1 year, you will quarrel for 1 week, you won't talk. Now that your marriage is 10 years, it's still the same. When will you grow up? 25 years. You still keep Christian malice. You know Christian malice. How are you? Blessed. Pass the salt. I'm fine. That's Christian malice. We're talking. Am I not talking to you? I'm talking. If the rapture comes. That's all right. Let him be happy. Make him happy. When last did you tickle your husband? When last did you put a little fish in your mouth? And it just tiptoed. And you came from the back and you put it in his mouth. When last did you do that? You know, sometimes I just move towards my husband and I just tickle him. And he just like, I say, you are not even a virgin. Just to make him laugh. Just to make him happy. When last did you do that? When last did you pillow your head on your husband's chest while he's watching Arsenal and Barca? When last? You stay in the kitchen for 2 hours. What are you cooking? You can't even come around? That's why as a woman you must improve on yourself. You must know a little about everything. Isn't that your husband and your children are discussing? Say, I see. What did you see? You can't even contribute anything. I see. You don't even know the name of any club. You don't even know. And say, when they say Barcelona, say, is it the wife of Obama? It's a woman. No man wants an old bride around him. You must keep improving on yourself. Even if you're a great-grandmother, you're somebody's wife. And it is your responsibility to make that man happy. Make him laugh. Stop dwelling on all his mistakes. Be happy. Sometimes my husband puts me on his back, you know, and all that. Sometimes I try to put him on my back. He's bigger than me, you know. I just want to call forth the little boy on his inside. Come out. Come and laugh. Come, you know, and all that. I was watching you, your body language. And I said to myself, they are truly happy. If you are happy, you can't hide it. You see some couples? The woman wants to speak to them. Yes. They're always looking straight. What is wrong with you? Why did you get married? Marry your friend. It's not every time you have sex. I've been married 31 years. It goes down after some time. I'm telling you, if your life is based on sex, you've lost it. So there must be other things that will keep the marriage going. As the man ages, the generator is also... It's true. When we're newly married, you could have sex 4 times a day. In the kitchen, in the bathroom, anyhow, anywhere. That's why I always tell couples, when you're newly married, don't let anybody interfere, because you need to bond. It will tell in the evening of your marriage. It will tell in later years. Sex is like the water that mixes the sand and the cement in building. So you must have it anywhere. It doesn't have to be initiated by the man. It's a sign of immaturity to say, until my husband, I don't want to appear cheap. Excuse me, you are living in Stone Age. It's your husband, it's your marriage. Because some of us we have African backgrounds. You don't want to say, I want sex. Okay, let me teach you what to say. As you are serving, maybe you're serving his food or something, just whisper to him in case the children are there. I want a flight to Jerusalem tonight. Tonight, I'd like you to make deposits without withdrawal. He knows what we're talking about. Coin your own language. Coin your own language. Hallelujah. Why are you laughing? Be spiritual now. Be spiritual. So, the man's heart was merry. Make your husband happy. You determine, you dictate the mood of your marriage. As a woman, it's your power. God has given it to you. It's a secret code. When mama is not fine, nobody's fine. When mama is not happy, nobody's happy. So it's important for you to make the man merry. Now, scientists have discovered now that one of the greatest causes of death in women is cancer caused by unhappiness. So you better enjoy your life. When I turned 52 years ago, I made up my mind. Number one, to dress with my future in mind. Number two, to be happy in spite of anything. Number three, not to hand over the driver's seat of my life to anybody. Let God be pleased no matter who is offended. It doesn't matter how you feel about me or what you feel about me. It is your cup of tea. You can drink it till eternity. But as for me and my household, I shall be happy. Don't let joy takers take your joy. Sometimes even when your husband is wrong, his ego will not want him to submit.
But you just make up so that you can bring peace into the marriage. May the Lord help you. Every time you travel, get something for your husband. You know, I told you I was in Kenya. I led my students. And when I was coming, I got to this mall and I saw this trophy. World's best husband. So I picked it. And my husband and I were on that trip. So I tried to hide it in a way that. The next thing I saw my students, they all going there to buy. To buy. I said, oh, this is good. So I said, I've never given my husband any gift. I said, what? You must, not just on his birthday. I write letters to my husband. I post it and he receives it. Just to say I love him. Sometimes I just wake him up in the dead of the night. Not for sex, not for anything, but to just validate him. And let him know how special he is. Not that every time you wake your husband up, which is for quarrel, in the afternoon when you were talking. Surprise him. Make him happy. The devil will try to make you not happy. But please make him happy. Please. Stop thinking like it's the man that must always make you happy. You too. You must. Let your husband know that you did not waste his life by him marrying you. Let him know that it's not a crime. The Bible says, for this reason shall a man leave his father, L-E-A-V-E, five letter words, and cleave to his wife, six letter words, C-L-E-A-V-E. That means, after marriage, your husband's life must be better. If not, you are a witch. Somebody said, you are a witch, is now, you know, it's just my vernacular way of saying, you are not normal. So your husband's life must improve. Repackage him. This thing is in repackaging. Repackage him and let him be happy. After this conference, start doing all these things. Take with your husband, you know, take him on a date, you know, invite him to dinner, present him a bouquet, write letters to him. Sometimes you use a piece of chalk or your eyebrow pencil to write, I love you. Just something crazy. And those of you that call your husbands by their first names, from today, look for a pet name. Babe, honey, sweetheart, something. After this conference, say, we've been married 20 years, it doesn't matter. When you get home and you start, and your husband says, what is all this? When did we start? I say, we're just starting now. Never late to start. I have different names for my husband, depending on what I need. When I call him darling, that's normal. When I call him baby, he knows it's going to be serious tonight. When you hear me say Bishop FAA, I'm asking for money. So I'm reminding him that he's a man of God and he must take care of his family. Who calls me all sorts of names? He calls me darling. When you hear him, he calls me funky baby. Because my name is Funke. When you hear my husband say a funky baby, that means I'm angry and he's trying to appease me. A funky baby. Whether I like it or not, I'm just like, be careful, I don't like it, or you know. And then it's over. If you give him a pet name, he will also give you a pet name. So please make him happy. The man is tense. All sorts of things happen to him. You know, be his shock absorber. Sometimes it's not easy. He's betrayed. His expectations are not met. He's broke. No man wants to be broke. He can't meet his manly duties and responsibilities. Be there for him. Support him. Make him happy. Don't allow your husband alone to pay the school fees. Help him. That's why you need your own as a woman. Please, I ask that you be a mother indeed and a matriarch, not just in title, but in reality. Let your husband know that you are there. So that when you are older and you also need help, he will be there for you. I read a book written by T.D. Jakes. When his wife was involved in an accident, and for a long time, T.D. Jakes had to be pushing her in the wheelchair. Somebody said to T.D. Jakes, "Are you not tired of pushing this woman?" He said, "I am believing God for a miracle. But this woman has done so much that I am ready to push her in this wheelchair throughout my life." I was preaching recently and I asked the ladies a question. When David was going to marry Michal, the Bible says that the father said, "I don't want money, I don't want anything. Just give me 100 foreskins of the Philistines." You know what a foreskin is? That's not easy. That means he's going to kill the people and then take from their private parts. That was wicked on Saul's part. But that was what he wanted as dowry. Hear what David said. "I will not just give you 100, I'll give you 200. Because this woman deserves it." And I'm going to ask you the same question. If your husband were to repay your dowry, will he reduce it or increase it? By reason of what you have contributed to his life in these last 5 years that you've been married, or 10 years, or 30 years. Will he reduce it? Because some women are thorns in their husband's lives. Rottenness in their bones. Many people condemn my car. I don't. When I preach about worship and all that, I bring out lessons from her life. But excuse me, that woman stood out. For a man to say, "I will double your dowry." Do you know that after David had become the king, after Absalom's, after Saul died and all that, and David got back to the throne, the Bible says that David said, "Bring back my Michal for me." By this time, my Michal was married. And when she was being brought to the king, her new husband followed her crying. That's to tell you what that woman weighed. The old husband gave double the bride price. The new husband was crying. And the person told, "You better go back, if I will kill you," before the man now went back. That's how to be a relevant woman. Did you hear what T.D. Jakes said? Some men wish their husbands would be dead. And they are not evil men. But these women are just suffocating them. These women are so insecure. "He must not greet anybody too much. You are looking this way, but you are saying everything. He must not handle anybody. He must not be close to any sister. He must..." What did that sister tell you? "What did you..." "You just kill yourself with hypertension. You just die of blood pressure." Because you can watch over your husband 24/7. If he wants to commit adultery, he will say commit it. It is only what God keeps that is kept. Yes. The next one, number 5. The Bible says his heart was merry. The Lord help you to make your husband happy. He went to lie down. He went to lie down. Many husbands cannot lie down because of their wife's constant trouble. What does it mean? When you lie down, you are at peace. When you lie down, you are restful. You are in a restful position. When you lie down, your organs rest. In fact, medically, some parts of your body are renewed when you sleep. Between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m., your liver, your kidney, even your hair. Do you know that children only grow taller when they sleep? And because many of them don't want to sleep, so they take ill, and then they are compelled. Because they stretch when they sleep. It's a mystery of God. Many husbands cannot lie down. Many husbands are not at peace because of constant trouble. "Wake up, wake up. You're the one I'm talking to. Let me leave." We've not finished talking about that. Every little thing, quarrel. Some women are so quarrelsome. Some of them, you pray them out of your church. They're so quarrelsome. Every little thing, there must be a quarrel. And their mouth will be running and running and running. Every woman in the church can be traced to them. They are the CNN of Transformation Life Center. Talk, 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 talk. at home, everywhere. Let your husbands lie down. Let them be at peace. Stop troubling them. Give them peace at home. Let the man be blessing God. When the man lies down, he's in a correct state of mind. He can see vision. You can see that the head is one of the smallest parts of the body, but it controls everything. It controls the nervous system, the central nervous system. It has the eyes with which we see. It has the ears with which we hear. The mouth, the brain. That's the man. You are the body. You are the neck. You turn the head anywhere. That's true. But the man is the head, according to the Bible. So if you don't allow him to think and to be at peace, men are like the elastic. You know that rubber band. Sometimes they just want to pull away from you a little. They just need their space. Not that they are quarreling with you. They just need to be quiet. They just want to think. A man is different from a woman in a minimum of 5 ways. One of them is the way they think. A man thinks deeply. A woman does not think as deeply as a man does. She only thinks faster than a man. Because when you are pregnant in the 29th week, and it's a medical fact, if that child is going to be a girl, nothing happens to her brain in pregnancy. But if that child is going to be a boy, the right hemisphere is cleared off. And that's the area of emotion. That's what we use for emotion. So you say, my husband is not expressive, he's not emotional, he's not, you know, only once in a while do you find men. Many of them learn it. They learn it. You have to teach them. A woman juggles with both sides of her brain. That's why a woman can do many things at the same time. A man can do only one thing at a time. Let your husband be driving and you're drawing his attention to something. He will remove his leg from the throttle. What did you say? You say, be going with this. He's a man. He's different from you. You want to prove me wrong? Okay, tomorrow, leave your 3 children with your husband. Your baby, your toddler, your 4-year-old. Tell him, I'll be back just to get some groceries. As soon as you leave, the baby wakes up. The toddler poops. The telephone rings. The doorbell rings. And then the food on the cooker. The first thing the man is likely to do is go to the window side to see if you're coming. What is likely to do? But excuse me, this is what a woman manages every day. She knows what to do, but because she thinks, she juggles everything. You can't compare your husband with yourself, and he's not wicked, he's not inferior. Say, my husband, you don't even know. No, he's a man. You're married to a man. He has to learn to understand you. And you know, a woman, you know, you are very expensive as a woman. You know, my husband tells me, you are even more expensive than my car. I say, that's why I'm a woman. When you think you have understood a woman, she opens another page. The woman is laughing now. The next minute she's crying. Say, what's wrong? I don't even know. Even me, I don't know. It may be her cycle. That's a woman for you. That's a woman. I don't know. I just don't feel like talking to anybody. I tell men, when there is a misunderstanding and your wife says, leave me, just leave me alone, and she's going, you better follow her. When... She means touch me, touch me, touch me. You will notice that as she's moving away, she's looking at you. When you get it, she just leave me alone, is a lie. That's how you hug her. So you don't say, she said I should leave her, I left her. You are causing trouble. Hold her tight. That's a woman. A man is thinking, I'm 45, I need a house, I need a home. I have one, but I need more than one. A woman is thinking, Christmas is coming, what shall I wear? And the children. And the man is saying, oh God. And the woman is saying, excuse me. And then you're wondering, you're not futuristic. No, it's because he's a man. A man defines himself by what he does. A woman defines herself by who she is. I am the wife of Bishop Adejobo. You see a woman carrying her children's pictures everywhere. You hardly find men. Well, he doesn't need all that. I am the CEO of... That's a man talking.
I'm the chairman. You won't find a man say, good afternoon, I'm the husband of.
Even if the wife is, it will say something affects his ego to be telling you I'm the husband.
No, I am the carpenter of the.
He prefers to mention a job that is not, that to say I'm the. But you see the woman, I'm the wife of. That's the way we are made. Because when the man was created, it was because he was wanted. When the woman was created, it was because she was needed. She was needed. And when she opened her eyes, she met needs. Emotional need. The man said, wow, this is the bone of my bone. So something was missing. That is why I say, woman, if you don't learn to pause, sila, and take care of yourself, you will meet needs until you kill yourself. Husband's need, children's need, church need, friends need, in-laws need. And some people, even if you cut your head, they won't be happy. I tell women, don't kill yourself. Because if you kill yourself, that man will marry. He will remarry. Let me even tell you this. While you are still in the mortuary, in the morgue, God forbid, the man will say, can I have a cup of hot chocolate, please? You're still in the morgue. I've not eaten since she died. And while the person is going to say, please make it very thick. I need strength. And can I please add some toast? And the man is saying, I'm going to die with my wife. I'm going to die. And the day the woman will be buried. Let's something. So in Jesus' name, I'm not going inside. In Jesus' name. So don't kill yourself. If you kill yourself, 100 women have been eyeing that man. Some of them are in the choir. Ushering department. You see them as they go. They are serving the Lord, but they are eyeing the man. They are eyeing the man. That man that you think, oh, he's rubbish, is this their wish? That's their dream. So you better take care of him and take care of yourself. Let your husband lie down. Give him peace. Number 6. At the end of the heap of corn. That is important. At the end of the heap of corn. The man laid down at the end of the heap of corn. What does that mean? The heap of corn, that talks about harvest. Let your husband eat the fruit of his labor. Don't destroy his work. What the man has been gathering, don't destroy it out of anger. I've seen women burn their husband's certificates in anger. I've seen women crash the car windscreen out of anger. And after just that 1 minute of demonic fury, so why did you talk to me like that? So, their eyes are clear. At the heap, at the end of the heap of corn, you know what it takes to have that heap of corn? You know what it takes? Let your husband enjoy. Create space for your husband to enjoy the labor of his hands. Avoid suspicion. Avoid reminding him of his failures. Please. Like I said, if you keep reminding him of his mistakes, even though you think, it's over. For the next 3 days, the man is not himself. He's thinking. Is it because people have not told you their own story? That's why you think your own is the worst? A lot is happening. Cover your own. Shield your husband. Protect him. Stop using his weaknesses against him. Stop reminding him of his failures. Don't become so moody. If God should mark iniquity, none of us will be able to stand. Don't destroy the works of his hands. Be there for him. Be involved. I'm not a business person. I'm an administrator. But my husband is a businessman par excellence. So whether I like it or not, I have to be involved. I have to learn one or two things. Even though now our son has even taken over the family business. But even when my husband was running it, I had to visit. Sometimes it wasn't convenient. But just to let the man know that I'm a part of your life. I'm a part of this. By God's grace, we have 33 churches. We have thousands of people that we pastor. I still go to church to clean.
And now because I travel a lot, I have employed someone to be doing it. And I pay him. Just for the man to know that, look, I believe in what you are doing. Your mama was sharing a few things with me yesterday. And I was so proud of her. Please, once your husband knows you believe in him, not even the sky will be his limit. Validate him. Believe in him. Sing it as a song. Let the man know that all shall be well. Let him know that tomorrow shall be all right. When he's going through some stuff, it doesn't matter. Be there for him. He lost his job or he has some financial crisis. Be there. The sun will shine again. Let him enjoy the fruit of his labor. And as you do that, the Lord will help you. Number 7. Ruth is what we are gleaning from today. And she came softly. This is a palace pillar. This woman called Ruth. She's one of the greatest pillars of the palace in the Bible. She came softly. She came softly. How do you approach your husband? How do you approach him? How do you talk to him? Sometimes you are trying to pass a message across, he doesn't understand. Go and tell the Holy Spirit. You don't need to prove a point. You don't need to win all the arguments every time. Learn to be quiet. Study to be quiet. She approached him. She came softly. There's a way you address a man and he gives you. Look at Esther. She came in and the king stretched out. Sometimes you just need to touch your husband. Sometimes you need to be close to him and speak to his ears. Sometimes you need to call forth the king because you need something. It's not every time you say, so I asked for 2,000 and you gave me 200 and you expect me to be sleeping with you. Go and meet one prostitute outside. It's not me you are talking to like that. And then you walk away. It's a sign of immaturity to use sex as a weapon. It's a sign of immaturity. It shows that you are a girl of God. You're not a woman of God. That's what it shows. She came softly. How do you approach your husband? Particularly in the presence of everybody. Are the children? Softly. The Bible says, soft answers turns away wrath. Let's build our marriages. In case you don't know, your children do not have eject buttons. They are watching. In case you don't know, you are mentoring many people. You may never meet some of them. Now, I was asking for the book. I'm taking it to Africa. Only God knows how many people will be blessed. You have no idea your circle of influence. What you do has ripple effects. Somebody is watching you. You may not know. Please, come softly. It's not every time you fight. Come softly. And look at number 8. The Bible says, she uncovered his feet. What does that mean? She made him comfortable. I love to have a massage regularly. And when either my shoulders or my feet are being massaged, oh my God, I'm in the third heavens. Maybe because I stand a lot preaching, you know, travel a lot and preach a lot, so the feet. So the Bible says, she uncovered his feet. Do you know sometimes as a woman, you just sit down on the floor in the living room and you're just massaging your husband's feet. You take some shea butter, you take some Vaseline. Some of you have never done that before. You say, am I a slave? Touch is powerful. On our bodies, we have about 5 million touch receptors. On our hands alone, we have 2 million. If someone is a patient in the hospital and that person is always touched, it has been discovered that the person gets healed. The person recovers faster. So when you touch people, I saw the way Robert was touching his wife. When you touch people, he's communicating. You're saying you're special. I'm here for you. You are important to me. Massage his feet.
She uncovered his sins. What does that mean? Prayer cover your husband. Set your alarm in such a way that it can remind you to pray for your husband. I do that 4 times daily. My telephone rings. It may be half a second, but it's something. A little plus a little plus a little plus a little. God puts our prayers in the bottom. Go to the book of Revelations. It's a seat for him. Prayer cover him. She uncovered his feet. What does that mean? Jezebel proof your husband. Delilah proof him. What does that mean? Satisfy him sexually. Every married woman should have a minimum of 2 types of night wears. The regular one that you wear when anybody is there, your children or anybody. And then the second one is what I call transparent honesty. You just put on that one when the doors are locked. And for no justifiable reason, you stand up from the bed and you catwalk to the bathroom. For no reason. You open the tap for no reason, you close it and you come back. You just come back. All this time you're apart on your chest breast. And using hair nets in the house every time. When pastor is coming, you quickly remove it and look nice. Your husband is more important. He's a king in that kingdom. You must be presentable. She uncovered his feet. So that the man can go well. When a man is sexually satisfied, he becomes emotionally stable. She uncovered his feet. And you know some women, they are so petty and so immature when it comes to sex. Because you know a man will do anything for you when you want to sleep with him. So you say, is the door locked? The man said, I locked it. He said, check. The man stands up. And you know men, they will do anything to go and check. He said, baby, I want water. The man's asking you, with ice or without ice? So you become the commander in chief at that time. And all this only missionary style must stop after this conference. You know missionary style. The man is always at the top and you are always beneath. Today God is saying, come up here. She uncovered his feet. Let your husband find a mother in you. That's a sign of maturity. Let him know that all I need to do is talk to my wife. Ask God for wisdom every day to manage issues. And please, don't have friends that will break your home. Don't expose your husband. Don't tell him. Don't tell people about him. Because by the time you forgive him, the sympathizers will not. And if he has anything to do, look at him. You don't have to. You don't have to tell your mother everything. Marriage, in getting married, you must be mature in at least 4 areas. And one of them is emotional maturity. Don't cry every time to your mother. You don't cry every time to your friend. Cry to the Holy Spirit. He knows how to cover our weaknesses. He really does. Number 9. She came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down. She laid beside the man. Be romantic.
Look at your place beside your husband and stand there. Don't stand behind him. It is a lie, a blatant lie. Behind every successful man is a woman. No. Don't stand before him. Don't block his view. Stand side by side. When God was going to create you, he didn't take the bone from his feet. He didn't take the bone from his head. He took it from his side. And I think maybe it's the left side, the left ventricle. Medical science makes us know that that's what is closest to the heart. And that's why on the wedding day, you see that, excuse me, ma'am, you see that the man stands on the right and the woman stands this way. He holds his left hand. He uses his left hand to hold the woman's, and then the right one is free. Holds her very close to his chest, his heart. With this, he holds her. And with this one that is free, he defends her from intruders. Thank you, ma'am. So lie beside. Many wives are absentee wives. We're looking for them beside their husband. They are not there. The man is up there. She's down there. She doesn't know how to repackage her life. She doesn't know how to invest into her life. She doesn't know how to dress up to match her husband's status. At 37, she looks 67. She looks like a panel beaten Volkswagen car. She says after her children, who is looking at me? You know, children. She says, who is this looking at me? That doesn't matter. Excuse me. You must repackage. You must befit your husband. You must be a befitting queen. You must fit his car. You must fit his status. You must improve on yourself. Thank God for online school. You can improve on your grammar. It's not that when you are speaking grammar, people are dodging their heads. And I shall went there. And when you are speaking, saliva here, saliva here. And people are just saying, just finish. Smelling, I told you yesterday, pimples is not a sign of holiness. Acne is not a proof that you are righteous. Body odor is a sin. Mouth odor is sickness. The way you package yourself. I thank God this is Canada. In Africa, some people, everywhere they go, they must tie scarf. It's in their church. They must always tie scarf. Even when their husband is making love, my scarf. The scarf must not get it out. It's rubbish. Repackage. Beside the man. Be found there. Be there. Carry yourself in such a way. There's no woman that is ugly. All you need to do is repackage yourself. Amen. It's been discovered that the male species likes variety. In the US, there was a research. A cock was made to have sex with one hen. At the fifth round, it couldn't go on. The same cock was thrown freely among hens. It went 15 rounds. So it was discovered that the male species likes variety. And because your husband is born again and he's heaven conscious, he cannot be tasting every woman. So you must be a different woman to your husband at different times. Yeah. Different. Today you just wear your sleeveless. Tomorrow it's your maxi. Next tomorrow is short hair. The next one it is long hair. Next one it is braids. Next one, you just become so unpredictable, the man doesn't know what he will meet at home. He does not know. Same thing with your sex life. It's not every time. Finish. Have you finished? She lay beside the man. Where are you? Help me ask your sister, where are you? And finally, verse 8.
Finally, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid.
That's very humbling. Every man has his midnight. Every man has his fears. As mighty as Boaz was, as wealthy as he was, when he was going through his midnight, he was afraid. No matter how rich or successful a man is, he has his midnight and he has his fears. But the Bible says, at midnight, in the midst of his fears, he turned and saw a woman. Each time your husband is afraid and it's midnight, financial midnight, ministerial midnight, or whatever, and he turns, don't let him see another woman. Don't let him even see his pastor yet. Don't let him see his mother. Each time your husband is afraid, let him see you. Because he will always come. The midnight will always come. Life is full of seasons of fullness and leanness. God has designed life in such a way that there will be a break system so that we will not be accidented. So midnight comes to all of us. All of us have our fears. But each time the man turns, Ruth was there. May God give you understanding. This is the word God laid on my heart to share with you today. And I believe you have been blessed. I want to pray with you. Please raise your right hand to heaven. Father, we raise our hands to you today in acknowledgement of the fact, according to John chapter 15, that without you, we can do nothing. Marriage is heavy duty responsibility. We ask for wisdom. We ask for grace. We ask that your mercy will uphold us. We frustrate every generational curse. We come against everything that is militating against our destinies. And we decree that by the blood of the Lamb and the altar, we have escaped every evil. Our marriages shall get better and better. Our children's marriages shall get better and better. Is anyone here that is divorced or separated or is a widow? I speak to you. Your midnight will soon be over. And your sun will shine again. I pray for every single person here, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, we will settle and establish them. Every family believing you for one miracle or the other, let your grace in the house today speak concerning them. May they not lack any good thing. Thank you, Father, because you are faithful. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. God's people will shout a better amen. I didn't plan this, but I feel led to ask you to sow a seed on behalf of your marriage relationship, on behalf of your children, on behalf of your future. This may be the seed heaven has been waiting for. Nobody will collect it from your hand. You're going to put it on the altar. This is not the time to go to the toilet. Spiritual things are very slippery in nature. I want you to be a part of this. I'm going to ask some of you to sow a seed of $200. Some of you a seed of $100. And some of you a seed of $50. Don't demote yourself. God smells seeds. He does. And seeds have a voice. I'm a product of seed. And my greatest secret is worship and giving. If you have that seed in your hand, only God knows what this seed will do for you. I want you to write a check or fill your envelope, $200. We'll start with that and bring it to the altar of God. Please be seated so you can write your checks. If you're writing a check, just write TLC, I guess. TLC. What I'm doing right now is very spiritual.
not.
Only God knows. This may be the seed heaven has been waiting for. Raise your right hand to God. Father, you brought me from the marriage bed. You set my feet upon the rock to stay. Today you have made me a matriarch, an apostolic mother in the body of Christ. And I bow my heart in gratitude to you. I have declared what you laid on my heart to these precious daughters of yours. As they put their hands towards you today, bring surprise money to them. You that surprised me and turned my life around, do the same for them. As this seed leaves their hand, it will be multiplied back to their lives. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every devourer. I come against the wicked one concerning you. You will sing for joy. It's a new day for you financially. And you will testify. Blessed be your name, Father. In the name of Jesus, we've prayed, and everybody will shout a bigger amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand. Now, those of you that are upstanding, remain standing. Remain standing. Can I have an usher put an envelope in their hands? At the back of that envelope, I want you to write three things. Write your name, write your email address, and write your telephone number. Pastor Regina, I'm giving you a prophetic instruction. At the end of today, before you sleep, take these envelopes to your house by your bedside. Put the anointing oil upon this, on your hands, and hold the envelopes in your two hands, and pray in tongues for a few minutes. You don't even need to interpret, just pray in tongues for a few minutes, and that's it. God is about to do something in the lives of these people. Write at the back of your envelope your name, your telephone number, and your email addresses, and put the envelope in my hand right now. I'm going to hand this over to you. Me, if you don't listen and look at me, you won't hear what I'm about to say. I love you, God.